And we're holding on Nun Dalet Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah about the penalty for Mishkav Zachar, and we've been discussing that yesterday. So now the Gemara continues. Tanan Rabbanan, Loi Os, Tanan Rabbanan Zchur, which as we defined yesterday, Rashi had pointed out, there's a difference between the words Zachar and Zchur. Zachar means a male, Zchur means the whole of a male that another male uses for Mishkav Zachar with him. So therefore, Zachor, in short, is a word for the Nishkav, for the passive partner in it. So Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Zachor, like also by Katan Kagadol. The Chachamim did not make, the Chachamim explained that the Osa is the gear on the side, the Torah does not make Katan Kagadol, that a Katan and a Gadol should be the same in that, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain. Behema, also by Katan Kagadol, whereas when it comes to an animal, to a man having relations with an animal, then Katan and Gadol are the same. Myla also by Katan Kagadol, so what do we mean that with a Zhur, a Katan and a Gadol are not the same? Omarav, it means loy also bias pachas ben teisha shonim ke ben teisha shonim. So Rav says it's like this. When it comes to bia in general in the Torah, we know that the bia of a boy less than 9 years old is not considered a bia. So now Rav says the same thing applies over here, that if an older man commits Mishkav Zachar with a boy below 9, then it's not considered the same thing as above 9. Above 9, he would be Chayiv Misa, the recipient would not be, even if it was Beratzin, because he's a child, but if the receiver is more than 9, is 9 or older, then Rav says that the adult would be Chayiv Misa. Or Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says the cutoff is not 9, but loy also bias pachas ben shalish ke ben shalish shanim. Shmuel says the cutoff point is not 9, but rather 3. If the nishkav is less than 3, then Shmuel says then there's no misa for the adult. If there's above 3, then there is. What's the underlying machlokas? Rav Sover, Rav takes the view, called the Isiv Shoychev, Isiv Nishkav. Whatever rule applies to the Shoychev, to the active one, applies to the Nishkav, the passive one. Behold, the Lesev Shoychev, Lesev Nishkav. And if it doesn't apply to the Shoychev, it doesn't apply to the Nishkav. Since the Shoychev is definitely not, it's not considered a Bia if he's less than 9, as in fact we're going to bring later on in our Sugya. So the same way, less than Nishkav, so therefore Rav says, if the Nishkav is less than 9 also, then the rule doesn't apply. Or Shmuel Savar, Shmuel holds Mishkavei Ishaksiv. After all, the Pasuk that talks about Mishkav Zachar says that if a man lies with another man, Mishkavei Isha, like the lyings of a woman, then he's Chayav Misa. And as we established yesterday, that means Shnei Mishkavis V'Isha. It means that there are two, when it comes to a woman, there are two ways that are considered Bia, Kedalka and Shaloi Kedalka. By a man, of course, there's only the one. By definition, any relations with him is Shaloi Kedalka. And therefore, Shmuel says the comparison with Isha also teaches us, therefore, that this is the same cutoff age. The same way as with a girl, bia below 3 is not considered bia. The same way with a boy, bia only below 3 would not be considered bia, but above it is. And the Gemara points out, Tanya Kavasei de Rav, we learn a Braisa, like the way Rav says, Zohar Metesha Shonim V'yem Echad, that it was Zohar, actually, Rashi has the Girsa again, because Zohar would suggest that he's the active one, whereas here we're talking about the passive one, so Zohar, Metesha Shonim V'yem Echad, if the boy, the receiver, is 9 years old, then the adult who does Mishkav Zachar with him would be chayev, but not below that age. Now, the halacha is like Rav in that, given that we have a braisa like him. With that said, though, the Rambam writes when he brings these halachas that nevertheless, Dastin should be, even if the boy was below 9, or maybe, I guess now in modern terms, we would say, especially if he's below that age, then Dastin definitely should be given the adult makas maudus for it. And in fact, there's an interesting point, one of the later Rishonim, the Rashbash, makes a point on this. You have those, one of the later Rishonim is the Rashbats, Reb Shimon ben Semach from Spain and then from North Africa, and his son, the Rashbash, Reb Shloima, Reb Shimon, was also an important posik. he points out that this is the kind of thing, like, if we didn't, then the goyim would really have it in for us. They would say, what kind of immoral religion are you that a man does this kind of thing with a boy, and you let him off scot-free? So there's no question, you have to at least give him makas maudus. Anyway, the Braisa continues, Habala Behema. Now, if a man has relations with an animal, Ben Kadauka, Ben Shaloi Kadauka, whether he does with the animal, Kadauka or Shaloi Kadauka, Vah Isham Viasa Behema Alea, and if a woman mates with an animal, again, Ben Kadauka, Ben Shaloi Kadauka, Chayav, or Chayovin, really, it's supposed to be, so in all those cases, they're Chayav. It's Shaloi Kadauka, but it doesn't matter, it's still considered Reveya or Nirba, as the case may be. The Gemara continues, Dorosh Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisa, Be'isha Shnei Mishkoves Uba Behema Mishkov Echad. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisa Darshin, that when it comes to a woman, there are two Mishkoves, because again, you have the word Mishkov Eisha, meaning that there's Kedauka and Shaloi Kedauka, but by an animal, there's only Mishkov Echad, there's only one, because by an animal, it doesn't say Mishkovei. So what does Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda mean by that? So Rashi explains that Rav Nachman is referring to a woman who was nirbas to an animal, so the male animal who's the active one, and she's passive and she accepts from it. In other words, Rashi says, when it comes to a person, Rav Nachman doesn't need to tell us that the Shnei Mishkoves V'isha. We know that from the Pasuk, and we know that from many places throughout Shas, that Kedauka and Shaloi Kedauka are considered equivalent when it comes to a man and a woman. And the Gemara is going to continue. Rav Papa is going to point out that on the face of it, it should be the other way around. If we were talking about a man and a woman, there'd be no reason for Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda to say that. There'd be no chiddush in it, and Rav Papa couldn't possibly ask on it because it's very obvious that it's so. So rather, we're talking about over here where it's an animal and a woman, a male animal and a woman. So there, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda is saying, "V'behema mishkav echad," that. So what he's saying is Be'isha Shnei Mishkoves. When it comes to if there's an animal and a woman, then there's two Mishkoves, meaning in other words whether the relations from the animal to the woman were Kedauka or Shaloi Kedauka, either way she would be Chayev, and the animal, as we're gonna discuss in detail later on, would be put to death. But by Behema Mishkov Echad, Rav Nachman is saying when it comes to a man committing a bestiality with an animal, then it would be only if it's Kedauka. So that's a point of Rashi, Rav Nachman is contrasting the two cases involving an animal, one with an animal and a woman, the other with a man and an animal. That's a point of Rashi. Tosfos points out Tosfos explains that actually no, what we're talking about. So Rashi says, in other words, that what we're talking about over here is that when it comes to Revia, that's what we're talking about. We have two versus one. Tosfos says that maybe in fact there's no question that by a woman there's Shnei Mishkoves. Rav Nachman is saying that by Behema there's only the one. So Maski for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa asks on that. He says now Tosfos understands though that Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda is in fact talking about a man and a woman Shaloi Kedauka. So then Rav Papa's question we're gonna have to understand differently. So Maska for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, Adraba, on the contrary, why are you saying like that? You should argue the other way around. Isha de'urchehi, for a woman to have relations, to be had relations with. So therefore, I'm Mishkav Mechayev, Amidah Machrina Loi Mechayev. So you could argue that only when it's Kedauka, only when the animal is having relations with her Kedauka, then you could say only in the normal way is she Chayev, Amidah Machrina Loi Mechayev. Maybe you shouldn't say that she should be Chayev for Shaloi Kedauka. Midam means anything else. It's a bit unusual. Usually the Gemara's word for it would be midi. But anyway, behema, the lava urchahu, but when it comes to a behema, since it's not normal for a behema, for a man to have relations with an animal, l'chayev alal, akol nekev v'nekev, then shouldn't the man be chayev whichever hole he uses, whether it's Kedauka or Shaloi Kedauka? So again, according to Rashi, the point of the question is exactly that. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista had said that if a man has relations with an animal, then he's chayav kedarka Rav Nachman had said that when it comes to a man with an animal, then there's only mishkav echad, there's only one way that makes him chayav, whereas with a woman and an animal, then there would be two ways. So now Rav Popper is saying that adrabba, you should argue that when it comes to a man and a woman, it should only be kedarka, she's chayav, not shaloi kedarka. But a behema, it's not normal for a man to have relations with a behema. So it should be the same thing. He should be chayev whether kedarka or shaloi kedarka. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos says that no, obviously there's no question. A papa is not going to contradict things that it says all over Shas that a woman is chayev and shnei mishkavos. The question is, if you're going to draw a distinction, Rav Nachman, between a woman and an animal, and you're talking about both of them with a man doing it, then you should say the other way around. Then the logic would dictate that with a man and a woman, it's only kedarka, whereas with a man and an animal, it should be either one. Well, the Gemara says, Tanya Deloika Tavayu, we learn a Braisa actually, that's not like either one of them. Because a Braisa says, Zocha ben Teisha Shanim, V'yemachad, a boy 9 years old or older, So again, we have the word zohar over here, and again, the word should be zohar over here on the side, because we're talking about a boy who was used by an older man, like we were talking about before. And as we said before, this braisa agrees with Rav that the cutoff age is 9. And then another case, habala behema ben kedarka ben shaloi kedarka. A man has relations with an animal, whether kedarka or shaloi kedarka. Var isha mavia es a behema alei ben kedarka ben shaloi kedarka. Or a woman who has an animal use her for that kind of purpose, kedarka or shaloi kedarka, chayev. So then in all cases you chayev. So we see clearly from the braisa that all four would be chayev, whether we're talking about a man with an animal, kedarka or shaloi kedarka, or a woman with an animal, kedarka or shaloi kedarka, all of them are chayev, not like Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, who wanted to say that by behema there's only mishkav echad, not like Rav Papa, who wanted to argue that on the contrary, by behema there should be both, but by an isha only one. No, it's across the board, kedarka or shaloi kedarka by either one of them. All right. Next case, Amalei Ravina Larava, Hamara Bizchur Mahu. What would happen when it comes to Mishkav Zohar, if instead of full bia, if he did only Ma'ara, he didn't go in all the way? Now in Yevamos, Rashi brings, there's a machlokas what the definition of ma'ara is. We know there's a concept in halacha of ma'ara. The Torah mentions, in particular by a nida, it uses the expression es makora he'era, which literally means he uncovered her womb. So ma'ara means the first stage of bia, the first stage of contact between the two of them. The Gemara brings two opinions in Yevamos. One, it means the first touch of the Aver to the hole, and the other one is that it means putting it in a little bit of the way. Hachnosa Satara, putting in the corona of the corona, the tip of the Aver. In any case, the question is, when it comes to Arayas, we know that that's considered like Gemara Bia, because once it says it by a Nidda, then we learn from it by a Hekesh to all the other Arayas. The question is whether Mishkav Zohar is included in that as well. It is true that Mishkav Zohar is in the same parasha as the rest of the Arayas, but nevertheless, Mishkav Zohar in some ways is not Arayas after all. It's a different kind of Isser. So Ravina's question is whether the same din applies. The Gemara says, what do you mean? How could Ravina even ask the question? Mishkave Isha Ksidei. Again, by the pasuk that talks about Mishkav Zohar, it uses the word Mishkave Isha, the lyings of a woman, and therefore we learn that the same rules that apply to a woman, Shaloi Kedarka, apply to her, to apply to Mishkav Zohar, and since by a woman, Ha'ara Shaloi Kedarka would also make him Chayev for whatever penalties it is, whether we're talking about Misa or Kores or Korban, or what have you, exactly the same thing is going to be with a Zohar. So what's the question? Ella, you're right. Ravina's question was, Hama'ara bebehema mahu. What about if he did the Hara with an animal? So the question would be, again, because an animal is definitely not considered Arayas. Again, yes, it does say it in the parasha of Arayas, but come on, an animal is really a whole different category. So does the same thing apply? Amalei, so Ravina, and so Rava answers, listen, we don't need, aside from the fact that it says by Nida, it says this concept of Hara also later on in Parshas Kedoshim when it talks about the punishments for the Arayas. So it mentions Achois Avicha, Achois Imcha, your father's sister and your mother's sister, your aunt. And it says over there, it uses the word Hara as well. Kias She'erei Hara. It says he committed Hara with them and therefore they're going to get Kares. Now, we don't need it, so Rava points out, we don't need it to tell us over there that Hara is like Gmar Bia, because we can learn it from a Nida. In Parshas Achrimos, it mentions the Nida, and it mentions the ants in the same Parsha, and you have a Hekesh over there at the end that says that anybody who does any of these repulsive things, any of these disgusting things, so we learn from that a hekesh that they're all similar in that case. So deloit tzricha, so exactly that. We don't need to say it again in Parshas Kedoshim, the concept of hara. Dehor itkash laharah denida, because we have a hekesh with the hara by nida, because again, there's a hekesh between the nida and all the other ones. Tneo inin lahara de behema. So Rava says in that case, we can use the hara that it says by the ants, where otherwise it wouldn't have been necessary to teach us about the behema. So the answer to your question, Ravina, would be yes. Even if he only commits hara with the animal, he'd still be chayav nisa. Well, the Gemara asks, Mechti. Now, why do we even need that? Mechti behema mechayv misses based in he. After all, bestiality with an animal is also one of the misses. Is also one of the chayv misses based in. So that being the case, lomali dichtiv lahara dida gabe chayv krisus. So why is it? So in that case, why is it mentioning the hara in connection with the ants who are chayv koris lichtiv gabe chayv misses based in? Why doesn't it write it by one of the cases where there's actual missus based in? For example, the Torah could have mentioned by his mother or by his mother-in-law or any of the other relatives you have. Among the relatives, there are ones who are chayav missa. We had an Or Mishnah. We listed a bunch of them that are chayav skila. Then you have a number of others that we're going to learn in the ninth perek of Or Masechta that are chayav srefa. So by one of them, the Torah should have mentioned this concept of hara. And again, we have it by nida as well. So fine, from nida we learn to all the other arayas. Then we would have it additionally. It would mention it by his mother, or his mother-in-law, or his daughter-in-law, or any of the other ones that are chayiv misa, and we would learn from it to behema. The ligmur chayiv misa beistin, the chayiv misa beistin, and then it would be more logical to derive one case where there's misa beistin from another case where there's misa beistin. So why did the Torah instead put it by the ants in Parshas Kedoshim, where the ants, the father's sister and the mother's sister, there isn't even chayiv misa beistin? And the answer is Hoyo Bechol Ekrol, the Drosha Huda'asi, because after all, that entire pasuk about the ants in Parshas Kedoshim is there only for a Drosha. Because there's not really anything being added in the Gemara in Yevamos. It darshens that entire pasuk, it darshens the phrases in that pasuk, but it's not really otherwise necessary, because the fact that the ants are off limits to him, we know already from Parshas Achrimos. The fact that there's Kores involved, we also know from Parshas Achrimos, because it says at the end, V'nichrasu Hanafoshes Ha'osis. So therefore, you didn't really need a Pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim to repeat the ants and all. So once it's already saying that Pasuk and using it for other Drashas, Ksivanami Milsa de Drasha, so therefore the Torah adds another Drasha that we can learn from it, namely this one about how raw was an animal. Okay, in that Gemara, by the way, Tosfos discusses why is it, well, again, when the Gemara had asked before in the first version of Ravina's question, Am Arab is Chur Mahu, and the Gemara had said, what's the question? It says Mishkeve Isha. So of course, so what was the Hava Amina of the Gemara to even ask in the first place that it even needed to give the answer? So Tosfos over there gives a couple of answers that all the posik of Hara by Anida, it uses the expression as Makura Hera. He's uncovered her mocker, her womb. But a man doesn't have a womb, so therefore we would have thought that it's different, and therefore, and a behemoth the same thing, and therefore we need a special way to learn it. Mishkeve Isha by Zahur, and then learning from the ants when it comes to an animal, and then the Gemara gives there a couple of answers as well in between the other Arayas and Ves Zachal Sishkav Mishkeve Isha. You have Moilach, so maybe that means that there's not a Hekesh anymore. And then you could also say that other Arayas, a woman, be a is normal with a woman, but as a zechur or a behema is not, and therefore we need a special limud to say that the concept of hara applies to them as well. Okay. In any case, we've established that yes, the concept of hara, the chiyuv, if he's done only hara, applies to a schur and to a behema as well. Next, the Gemara says, "Bominir Rav Chadboy Bar Ami Merav Sheshes." Hamara ba'atzmai mabu. What about if a person were to do hara on himself? So he were to take his own aver and touch it to his acharayim. So would we consider it? Would he be chayev twice? Now we talked about yesterday. We had the whole discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and also within that between Rabbi Bohu and Abaya about if a person is both the active and passive in a mishkav zocher relationship, how many chatoris is he chayev? If he did it b'shoigig, we said various possibilities whether he'd be chayev two chatoris or only one. So now Rabbi Chabba is asking, what about if the person did it to himself? Then would there be one or two? Would there be one or two chatois involved over here? Omalei, sort of sheshes answers Rabbi Chabri kavsiton or kvaston or however you pronounce it, which is a strong lashon. Rashi says tiartani, like you're harassing me, like you're upsetting me by asking me an impossible question. As the Gemara is going to go on to say that why it's impossible. There are a couple of different other explanations among Rishonim what this expression kavsiton means. The Yad Ramah and a couple of other Rishonim bring that it means you're making me nauseous by asking me such a question. And the Oruch, brings another explanation as well, that it's related to the word Kuv Yustus, which we have a few times in Shas, which according to some Rishonim means a kidnapper. So it means like you're stealing my das. You're pretending to ask a good question, but come on, this is a ridiculous question because there's no way that could possibly happen. So that's what Rav Sheshes, in other words, says to Rav Chadboy, I'm not going to be bothering to answer your question, because come on, what kind of question is that? Omer Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi says to Rav Chadboy, Ma'iti Bori Loch, what exactly is the scenario that you're asking about? If it's Bekoshi, if you're talking about that the Aver is hard, Loi Mashkachaslo, then it's impossible, because you wouldn't be able to bend it in that direction, so therefore Rav Sheshes is right that it's an impossible question. Ki mashkachas lo, the only way that you could possibly even have the suffix would have to be b'mashamash mes, would have to be where the aver is not hard, where then you're able to bend it. The fact is, though, what are you even asking the question? We know that there's machloikas amiroyim about that point, lamanda, whether in fact, in general, with arayas, if a man has relations with a woman or an animal or whatever, and the aver is soft, is it considered bia? Is it considered bia or not? You have the relevant Gemara about it is in Masechta Shavuos, where it discusses a case over there. You have a husband and wife are having relations, and then in the middle she tells him that I became nidya. So you have a problem over there. He can't withdraw right away while he's erect, because then he has hana from it as well. So therefore he has to wait until it goes soft, and then he has to withdraw over there. Now, does that mean, so Rava says, you see from that Meshamesh Mes Potter, if he were to do it with a limp Aver, then he Bechlal wouldn't be Chayev. So therefore, in this way he does that, and therefore there's no Isser at all. Abaya says in the Gemara over there that no, actually normally you would say he's Chayev, but here you don't really have a choice. It's an Oynes, he started Beheter. So the point is, there's a machloikas over there in general. If a man were to have relations with a woman with an aver mess, with a limp aver, would he be chayev or not? According to Rava, no, and according to Abaya, yes. Well then, says Rav Ashi to Rav Chadboy, given that of necessity your whole question has to be when the Aver is mess, because again, with an Aver Chai, the whole thing would be impossible. Well, Lamanda Omer Meshamesh Mess Ba'arayas Potter. Well then, according to the opinion of Rava, that in general such a thing he'd be Potter, Chacha Potter. Well then, here he'd have to be Potter as well, because it's an Aver mess. Or Lamanda Omer Chayev, and according to Abaya, who says there that normally he'd be Chayev, and only in that case where he was having relations with his wife, and in the middle she became and there's no choice, he's an onus, he has to go out somehow. But normally Abaya says he would be chayev, hocha, mechayev tauti. Well, then over here, the answer would be that he'd have to be chayev both, mechayev ha-shoichev and mechayev ha-nishkev. He'd be chayev on the grounds that he was the shoichev, that he's the active partner, as well as he's the nishkev, the passive partner. So in other words, in short, Rav Ashi is saying to Rav Chadboy, Rav Sheikh has had a good point dismissing the question and using this word kavsatan on it, because your question doesn't really begin. It's impossible with an Eva Chai and with an Eva Mes. Look, you yourself know there's Machlokas, Abaya, and Rava on that topic. Okay. Bo name it Rav Sheikh. So now continuing on the topic of behema, where we said in the Mishnah, we've been discussing all this time that a person has relations with an animal, then the person themselves is chayv misa, and the animal is also put to death. So now let's focus on this matter of the animal being put to death. Bo mi name Rav Sheikhus. Oibid kechovim abala behema mahu. What would happen if it was a goy committed bestiality with this animal rather than a yid? So a yid, we know there's no question from our Mishnah and really from the pasuk that the animal is also executed by basting. What about if it was a goy? Mahu, what's the din? The question is, takola v'kola in be'inan, do we require, in order for the animal to be chayav misa, do there need to be two factors? The Mishnah mentioned a factor of takola, that a person did an aveda through this animal. And therefore, we say that that's one reason. Now, The Mishnah had mentioned two reasons why we put the animal to death. After all, the question is, what did the animal do wrong? So one point in the Mishnah was because of takola, because the person did an aveda through it, and therefore the thing itself has to be destroyed. The other explanation in the Mishnah was because the animal is not walking around in the street, and everybody says, hey, look, there's the animal that Pliny committed bestiality with, and it's going to be an ongoing humiliation for him. So the Gemara is calling these two factors takola and koloin. So now the question is, with a goy who had relations with an animal, mahu, what would be the din? Takola v'kola in be'inan, do we require, in order for the animal to be executed, that there's both takola, that he did an aveira, and koloin? Well, when it comes to a goy, there's a v'hocha, takola ikka, koloin leka. Here you could argue, there is takola, because as we're going to learn in the next couple of dafim, we're going to start tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk about Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and one of them includes that they can't commit bestiality. So that being the case, even if it was a goy, there's takola as well. On the other hand, there's not so much koloin, because it actually points out the goyim do these kinds of things anyway. It's a regular thing for them, so they're not embarrassed of it. And also maybe the Torah doesn't have so much rachmanus on the kolon, on the embarrassment of a goy. So that's the question. Do you need both of them, or is it enough that there was takola and we don't care about whether there's kolon or not? So that's the question when it comes to a goy, have had relations with the animal. Or maybe it's enough that there's takola, even if there's no koloin, and nevertheless that would be enough to put the animal to death. So the answer is, Omer of Sheshis, so this was the question they asked Rav Sheshis. Omer of Sheshis, or Omer Lahu Rav Sheshis, Rav Sheshis answers to them, Tinisuha, you can learn this from a Mishnah in Masechta Avodah Zarah, where the Mishnah says, it's actually not a Mishnah, sorry, it's a Braisa. It's a Braisa regarding an Asherah. We know the Torah says that an Asherah, a tree that was worshipped by the Goyim, then you need to destroy that tree. You need to chop it down and destroy it. And the Braisa says, Ma ilonis chen ochlen vein shosin vein merichin, ma doch trees which don't eat or drink or smell, omra Torah hashche sloif fekale, and still the Torah says, that you have to, the Torah says that you have to destroy them, hashreis, destroy them, sreis, burn them, v'kalei, and get rid of them completely. The triple expression, in the back of the Gemara, the Rebbe Loza Moshe Horovitz explains that the Gemara explains in Avodah Zarah that there are actually three different kinds of Asherah trees. There are ones that, there are ones that the Goyim worshipped, that the Jewish people found in existence when they came into Eretz Yisrael, and you have ones that Jews later on worship, and they can never be mevatel them, so that's why you have the triple expression, hashrei sroif v'kalei. The ones that the Goyim worship, you have to destroy, but instead you could damage them, and then that's considered a bittul, as we'll learn in Masechta Avodah Zarah later this year, Be'ez Hashem. Sroif would refer to the ones that existed in Eretz Yisrael when the Jewish people first entered there, so those the Torah says you have to burn, and kalei would refer to ones that later on a Jew worships Rachman al-Islan, where the din is, you can't be mevatel them, you have to utterly destroy them. So that's why the triple expression. Anyway, so that's the Braisa. So the Braisa continues, Hoyul vola adam takola al yodon. Nevertheless, since a person, and here we mean even a goy, was brought to takola through it, because he ended up doing an Avera, because after all, Avodah Zarah is also even to goyim. And therefore the Torah says you have to destroy them. Hamases chaveda midarkei chayim lidarkei misa. How much more so? Somebody misleads somebody else to go from the way of the living to the way of death, meaning he convinces him to go away from Torah. Alachas kama v'kama. How much more so that Hashem is going to destroy and punish him? Now, we see from this braisa, there's only takola. There's no kolain over here because there's no kolain. There's no kolon in a goy worshipping Avodah Zarah. He's not embarrassed by it at all. So according to Rashi's second point, that the Torah is not concerned about the kolon of goyim, and the Torah is not concerned about the kolon of them either over here. And yet we see takola alone is enough to destroy the tree. So therefore, says Rav Sheshes, so the same thing would apply to the animal over here, and therefore the answer would be that even though there was only takola, just the fact that the goy is usur in beast. Bestiality would be enough to destroy the animal even without the factor of kolain. The Ran, by the way, has a different explanation about why we say that there's no kolain involved over here. That the Gemara is asking that's the question basically: is there even kolain for a goy or is there not? So now Rav Sheshes is saying, you see, in the case of the tree, you see, in the case of the Asherah, that the kolain doesn't really apply. And the Yad Ramah also adds, you can't really say there's koloin, because it's one thing, the Mishnah had said that when an animal is walking around, people are going to say, look, that's the one. But the tree stays in one place, and therefore, he points out, we see by an Irani Dachas, that we burn down the Irani Dachas, but still, what does it mean? Everybody who passes by is still going to know there was an Irani Dachas, there's still going to be ongoing koloin, but obviously, says the Yad Ramah, we can see when something stays in its place, then we're not concerned about kolain. So that would explain why indeed there's no kolain by a tree. So aside from Rashi's point, again, that the goyim, there's no kolain because they're not embarrassed by such things, there's also the Yad Ramah points out that anyway, trees, there's no kolain because they stay in one place. In any case, so therefore, Rav Sheshes says, you see that takola is reason enough to give skila to the animal. Well, the Gemara asks, Ela me'ata, by that logic, then why shouldn't we say that if a goy bows down to his own animal, then the animal should become osur and it should have to be executed because of takola, because a goy is not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah either. The fact is we don't see that. So the Aruch Hamner sharpens the question. He says, listen, without Rav Sheshes' statement, you would say the Gemara would figure as Abaya, in fact, is going to point out soon, there's a difference between trees and people. But if Rav Sheshes is going to derive the din of animals from the din of trees, then the question is that why shouldn't we say the same way a goy bows to a tree, he makes it also, why shouldn't we say the same way he bows to an animal, he makes it also? The answer is, because where do you ever have a case where if a Jew does something, then he's not making it osir, but if a goy does, then he does. Now, even if a yid bows down to an animal, and he didn't do any maisa to the animal doesn't become osir b'hana. You can't bring the animal as a korban, but you could use the animal. You could shecht it. You could eat it. You could do whatever you want with it. It doesn't become osur b'hana. So what would be the logic to say that if a Jew bows down to the animal, that it should become, that it doesn't become osur b'hana, but you're going to tell me that if a goy does, then it should become osur. It's not logical. Therefore, obviously, so what are you even asking, that if a goy bows down to an animal, it should be osur? Fine. So the Gemara says, okay, well, the question is, Yisrael Gufei Litzer, nu, then Taka, why isn't it also if a Yid bows down to the animal? There is, after all, Takola and Kolin, Midi Dehavi Arevia, precisely because we should compare it to Revia, where there is Takola because it's also, and there's Kolin because there's the embarrassment of, this Yid is going to be Chayav Misa for it, and people are going to look and say, look, this is the animal that this person worshipped and caused him to die. Which now Rashi points out. The fact is, we do have a pasuk that says from which we learn that an animal that was worshipped is also to be brought as a korban. Now, if you're going to tell me, now what's the logic that the Gemara is asking? Well, in that case, if a yid bowed down to an animal, it should become also. If it's also bahano anyway, then why would we even need a pasuk to say that it's also as a korban? So Tosfos points out. Rashi points out that because you could have, for example, there was only one aid, or the owner himself came to Beis Din and admitted that he had done it. In either case, one aid, or he himself admits it, there's no chiyuv misa, but you would say, nevertheless, the animal is also as a korban on those grounds. But you could argue that when there are two aidim, maybe in fact, not only is the owner of the animal chiyuv misa for worshipping Avodah Zarah, but the animal should be destroyed as well. And the fact is, we don't see that. So we're back to the question. Taka, why not? Why is there that distinction? According to, if we definitely have Takola and Kolain over there, so why not? And if according to the Sheshis, all we need is Takola, then the same thing should apply to a Goy as well, because at least you have Takola over there. So the one answer is Omar Abaya. Abaya says, there is in fact a difference. Zek Kloine Meruba, the Zek Kloine Muat. Abaya says the difference is that in one case there's more kolon and in the other case there's less kolon. So Rashi gives two explanations. One is that Abaya is drawing the distinction between a Jew and a Goy. So he's saying that for a Jew there's greater kolon. A Jew would be embarrassed that he did such a serious avera, whether we're talking about avodah zarah or whether we're talking about bestiality. As opposed to a goy doesn't feel such kolon. Yes, he's also in these things. So therefore there's not much kolon. One possibility, Rashi says, therefore, is that Abaya is disagreeing with Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis has said that Takola alone is reason enough to put the animal to death, and then we have the question, in that case, why isn't that applied to Avodah Zarah as well? And so Abaya is arguing and saying, no, you do in fact need Takola and Kolon, but the difference is, it's not enough just to have a little Kolon, you have to have a lot of Kolon. And only by a Jew do you have a lot of Kolon, a lot of embarrassment, whereas by a Goy, not so much. Then Rashi says another possibility is maybe Abaya is agreeing with Rav Sheshis. But he's saying that when there would be a difference between trees and animals in that regard. When it comes to a tree, then we can say even the little amount of kolon is reason enough to destroy the tree, as opposed to by an animal. We're not going to say that. He would disagree with Rav Sheshis in this one detail. Rav Sheshis had derived from trees that the same thing should be true of an animal. And Abaya is saying, that part I disagree with. You need, in order to destroy something, you need coin and meruba. You need a lot of coin. So that's according to Rashi. Then Tosfos discusses, and other Rishonim discuss more details about what Abaya is saying over here. So Tosfos points out that, first of all, according to the first explanation, that we're saying that Abaya is disagreeing with Rav Sheshis, but it doesn't, the Loshon of the Gemara is not mashma that. The Loshon of the Gemara, Omar Abaya, doesn't suggest that he's arguing with Rav Sheshis. That would be Abaya Omar would be. And we also, the fact is, how we answer in the question on Rav Sheshis. So Tosfos explains that Abaya is coming to answer Rav Sheshis. We can learn that, yes, the Torah is saying that you have to destroy the trees of Avodah Zarah, and you also have to destroy the animal that a Yid committed bestiality with. So therefore, yes, we can learn from that if a Goy does that with his animal, then yes, we can learn that we kill the animal. There's Takola Vakola, but here there's only Takola, doesn't matter. The difference is that the difference ultimately is that that only by an animal there's colon merubah, as opposed to where there's colon muat, where there's only a small amount of colon, then we would say namely by so in other words, so Tosfos learns the lines of the Gemara as follows. Again, the question had been the statement of Rav Sheshes had been that we can compare a tree to an animal. Then the Gemara had asked, wait, then the goy bows to his animal, we should also execute it only because of takala, and the answer is that no, because we see it's not also by a yid. So the question is tackled by a yid. Why don't we compare avodah zarah to revia? And by a yid, by avodah zarah, there is takol of a kolon, and therefore we should say that if it was worshipped by the goy, takola alone would be enough. And the answer is because by nearby, when it comes to bestiality, there's much more kolon even than there is by avodah zarah. By avodah zarah, there is takola. There's a small amount of kolon, but not such a big amount of kolon that should cause us to put the animal to death just because he worshipped it. And then the Ran brings another point as well, that an animal is more important than a tree, and therefore so Rav Sheshes is learning that so in a way similar to Tosfos, he's saying that by a tree you destroy it just because of takala alone, but by an animal you need more than that. You need kolon, you need big kolon, not just enough. Not just a little amount of kolon. So in other words, Abaya is saying, how can you say that because the din happens by a tree, therefore it also applies by an animal? If after all, an animal is more important, and the answer is, because by an animal, you do that, but only when there's a lot of kolon, as opposed to by a tree, it's enough, a little bit of kolon. So, and then the Gemara itself makes that point in a minute that there's going to be more, that there's a difference between Baal and Chaim. So the Ran explains that that's what Abaya means. So that's the Gemara asks. Are you lonis de in kolon and meruba? So what do you mean? When it comes to trees of Asherah, there's not so much kolon, because Goyim worshipped it, or because Avodah Zarah, there's inherently less kolon than bestiality. V'omra Torah hashes surei fakale, and still the Torah tells us to destroy them. So taka, why doesn't the same thing apply to an animal? And the answer is balachayim kamin, because we're talking about here about animals, the chos rachmana alayhu, where the Torah has more rachmanus on them. We don't want to destroy an animal unnecessarily. And we see, after all, that to destroy a tree of Asherah, you don't need a beis din at all, whereas to destroy an animal, you need a beis din of 23. So we see the Torah has more rachmanus on them. Rava Omar, Rava gives a different answer. That in fact, yes, like Rav Sheshes says, the goy committed bestiality with an animal. So again, what does Abaya hold? Is he arguing with Rav Sheshes, or is he agreeing with Rav Sheshes? That you have the different explanations over here, whether Abaya would agree with Rav Sheshes' din that if the goy committed bestiality with the animal, that the animal would be chayiv misa. Rav Sheshes had said yes. According whether Abaya agrees with that, we have the different explanations in Rashi and Tosfos and the Ran whether they agree or not. Rava Omar. Rava says here's a different consideration. Yes, if a goy does bestiality with an animal, then the animal is killed. But the difference is omra torah behema nenes me'aveda tehore, because the animal after all had a certain hana from the bia, from the aveda, and therefore it should be put to death. But a tree doesn't have hana from being worshipped. So the Gemara says, "Varei ilonis de'enen in avera." What do you mean exactly? That the trees of Asherah have no hanah from the avera. The Omra Torah hashkes surei fakale, and still the Torah is telling us that you have to burn and you have to destroy and burn and get rid of them entirely. And the answer is again, the Baal HaChayim Kamin was saying that when it comes to animals, you need a higher standard. The Chos Rachmana Alayu, because again, the Torah has rachmanus on them in the fact that we see, for example, that you need a base din of 23 for it. So yes, but if it comes to a goy and an animal, then yes, the halacha would be like Rav Sheshes because it had hana. But we see that by a tree takola is enough of a reason. And therefore, in other words, Rava is saying that yes, by an animal as well. There is not only the takola, but there's also the fact that the animal had hana from it, and therefore that's reason enough to put the animal to death. That's according to Rashi, and then the Yad Ramah brings more explanations in it. Also, one of them is that Rava does agree with Rav Sheshes, but he says that you can't learn from the tree because the Torah has more rachmanos on an animal than a tree. So therefore, only by Yisrael, then it would mean. So according to that, according to one explanation, then we would still say that only by a Yisrael who had relations with the animal, then, and we have the Torah specifically says to kill the animal, then we would kill it, but not by a goy. And then the other explanation is that Rava is arguing with Rav Shea. So according to that, Rava would agree that Takola is enough, but he says that's not reason enough if a goy committed bestiality with it to be put to death. And the other explanation is that Rava is actually arguing with Rav Sheshis on the whole question of whether Takola is enough, and he's saying you do need Takola and Kolon, but Kolon Muat is enough, unlike Abaye had said, you need Kolon Meruba, and therefore by an animal, since you have the factors of it, and he would say that to kill an animal, really you need three things, Takola, Kolon, and Hana, and since by a Goy, you don't have Kolon, then therefore that wouldn't be reason enough to kill it. So in the end, the Gemara has not really answered the question what the halacha would be in this case, whether the animal is put to death or not. And in the end, the Rambam paskins that in fact you don't because of the suffix. An interesting point over here, by the way, the Aruch HaNer makes a point, is that here what we're saying is we're trying to derive the reason behind the mitzvah, and we're trying to use it to establish the parameters of the mitzvah, when we put the animal to death. Now, we have a machloikas in some places in Shas, whether we do such a thing, darshin and taima dekra, or not. So how can we just say that everybody's agreeing, darshin and taima dekra, that we have to look at the reason behind the mitzvah, and figure out the parameters of it based on that, when we're saying over here that throughout Shas, you have machlokas. Only Rav Shimon holds that way, and the Chachamim disagree. So the Aruch HaNer explains, because it's one thing, the machlokas of Rav Shimon and the Chachamim is when you want to use the time of Dekra to limit the scope of the din, but here we're talking about to broaden the scope of it to when a goy had relations with the animal, so everybody might agree that Darshin and time of Dekra, and the question is what's the more fundamental point, the Takala or the calling. Alright, the Gemara says, let's continue. Toshma, Dover Acher, let's learn a proof from our Mishnah. The Mishnah had given a second reason why the animal is put to death. Shaloi tehe behemeh everes bashuk, because we said, so the animal is not walking around on the street, v'yomru zui shenisko ploini al yada, and people are going to say that this is the one that Ploini was put to death, was stoned because of it. So we say now this point, in other words, this point that people are going to say that includes both points. There is koloin, because it's going to be embarrassing to the person's memory, and there's also takola. So therefore, so my lav, because we're mentioning the fact that he committed an aveda with it. My lav, mid is safer takola b'kolon, reisha takola b'kolon. So wouldn't we have to say, therefore, that since the safer in the second reason of the mission of the Dover Acher, it's mentioning both points, and reisha, so that would imply that in the reisha, where it mentions only the point, that because shabal olam takola al yada implies takola b'kolon, implies where there was exclusively takola, and that's reason enough to put the animal to death just by that. The hechidomi, now how do you have takolo without kolon? Anytime you have a yid commits bestiality with an animal, there's going to be both takola and kolon. Must be, obikachav mabal abahema. Must be that we're talking about a goy who has relations with the animal. And therefore, and the resha of the Mishnah would be saying that takola alone is reason to put the animal to death. So that would answer the question. So that would tell us, like Rav Sheshis says, that yes, the animal is put to death. Whether we want to learn it from Asherah or whether we don't, whatever the case, the Mishnah would be saying that takola alone is enough. And the answer is loy, sefer takol of a kolon, resha, no, sefer takol of a kolon. In the sefer, you're definitely talking about this takola and kolon. But we don't have to say that the resha is talking about where there's one without the other. Both parts, both reasons in the Mishnah can refer to where it was a yid. You don't have to say that in the first part of the Mishnah it's talking about where it was a goy, and the second part that it was a yid. Because you could be talking about resha, hokamash malon, because the resha would be telling us as follows. Da filu kolon b'loy takona nami michaivi. That even if there was kolon without takola, as we're going to explain in a second how that's possible, then we're still going to say that nami mechayvi, then the animal is still going to be chayv misa. What do we mean by that? The hechidami yisrael abala behave b'shoigig. If it was b'shoigig, he thought that it's mutter to do such a thing. So now there is kola in because he still did something shameful, but there's no takola because takola means takola means when the yid is it's not considered such a takola, but there is kola involved. So in other words, both parts of the Mishnah would be talking about where we're talking about a yid, but in the Reisha we're talking about that there's takola where he did it b'mezid, and the second part of the Mishnah where it mentions the dover acher that you don't want the animal to be going around in the street and saying zuhi. That's going to be where there's only kolin involved. Now, to be sure, the Mishnah uses the expression that people are going to say that poinin niskal al yada, and if it was b'shogeg, there's no skila. But nevertheless, the Gemara is still saying that in that case there would still be kolin, but nevertheless, but there wouldn't be takola because we don't consider a shogeg to be such a takola. And that would be what the Mishnah is saying. So you can't prove from the Mishnah one way or the other about the question that was asked of Sheshis. And as the Gemara continues, as in fact Rav Hamnuna asked the question, Yisrael abala b'heim b'shoigig nahu. What would happen if Yisrael had, if a yid had relations with an animal b'shoigig? Takola v'kolin v'inan v'hocha kolin ikka takola leka. If it was b'shoigig, is the animal put to death? There is takola, but do we need takola and kolin in order to put the animal to death? V'hocha kolin ikka takola leka. But here you only have kolin because it was a degrading thing for him to do. Even b'shoigig, but there's no takola because it was b'shoigig. Or duma afa pishen takola, or is it maybe even if there's no takola? So we still don't have an answer yet. So the Mishnah is not necessarily talking about a yid versus a goy. It still might be talking about in both cases by a yid, but we're talking about b'mezid versus b'shoigig. So the Gemara says Amar of Yosef Toshma. So Rav Yosef says here we're going to try to bring a proof from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah in Masechta Nida says, "Vas shalosh shanim v'yam echad miskadeshes b'biyah." A girl 3 years old in one day, meaning that she's fully 3 years old, is already old enough to be mekudesh with bia. We know you have kesef, shtar, and bia are the possible methods of kedushin. Once she's three, then bia with her is considered bia in halacha. And therefore, if that was done, then she's considered his wife. V'imbal el yavam kna. And similarly, if it was a case of Yibum, and the Yavam has relations with her, and Minat Torah, you don't need anything else, you don't need any Kedushin for Yibum, then also he's koina her, and now then if they want to get divorced, then he just gives her a get, and her father receives the get on her behalf, in the case of Kedushin as well, would have to be that the father gave permission for this man to be Mekadosh her, because in general, with a Ketana, you need the father's permission. Rashi points out, if her father has passed away, then it would only be possible to do kedushin with her d'rabbanon, which is where you have the whole concept of mirun comes in. In any case, so here, so if the father gave permission for kedushin, then she can be mekudesh b'bia. If it's a case of yibum, then yibum has been accomplished by that, and now therefore she's fully his wife, and therefore there would be a get, not chalitza. As opposed to, Rashi says, if she was less than three, then he would either have to wait till she's three, and then do bia, and then give her a get, or he would have to wait until she has shtei sairus, and then do chalitza. Continues the Mishnah. V'chayav and aleha mashum eishes ish. Once she's three, then already if she is married in either of these ways that we discussed, and somebody else has relations with her, then he's chayav for the fact that she's an eishes ish. So he would be chayav nissa. She would be potter because again she's underage. So the Mishnah continues. Umatamas boyala. Here's another thing that applies to. Now Tosfos points out. Tosfos discusses at some length that there is another point in this. Why would we have to say she's chayav mishum eishes ish? If we're saying that the kedushin of bia or the yibum, as the case may be, is fully effective, then of course there would be the issue of an eishes ish on her. So in fact, the Mishnah later on continues that if any of the Arayis has relations with her, then they would be executed because of her. So then there's no reason to mention the point of Eishes Ish. So Tosfos discusses in some detail over here that it has to do with that you should think by the Yibum, maybe it means it was only Koina Humidir Abbanon, and therefore it has to stress that no, he's Koina Humidir Araisa. And different other points also, when it says Mishum Eishes Ish, is also to tell us about the case of the Behemoth later on in the Mishnah to clarify that. Okay. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Umetames boyala. Now, if a man has relations with her when she's a nida, and then her husband or anybody else, then that man now has the halacha of boyal nida. Now, a woman herself is tomei when she's nidya. Now, if a man has relations with her during the time when she's nidya, and by the way, Rashi points out, even though we're talking a girl of three, it's possible for her to already be nidya. Usually, of course, a girl only starts having nidus, where usually only starts having periods when she becomes a naira, when she around the time of bas mitzvah, give or take. But the halacha is, if there was ever any bleeding from that area, even on the day she was born, then she's considered a nida, and then the dinim of nida and zava start applying to her, so therefore you could conceivably have a girl this age who becomes nida. Now, a man has relations with a nida, then he becomes tamei as well, the Torah tells us in Parshas Matzora. However, his degree of tumah is almost as strong as hers, but not quite as strong. Latame mishkav tachtin ke'elyon, namely that he is metame, anything that's underneath him, like something that's above him. Namely, the din is with a zav. If he lies on something that's meant to be laying on, then it becomes tumah with tumas midras. Now, even if you have, let's say, a pile of mattresses and a zav sits or lies on one of them, then all of them become tamei. But that would be by a zav or by the nidah herself. By a boil nidah, it's not quite as stringent. Instead, what you have is, when you have something above a zav, becomes tamei, but only as a rishon l'truma, the same way over here, with this boil nidah, what happens is that only the mattress that he's lying on becomes tamei, but the other ones, that he's not actually touching become only a rishon l'truma. So metame mishkav tachton, he's metame the things that are further underneath him, the ones that are further in layers underneath him, which he didn't actually touch, become tome as a rishon l'truma ke'elyon, just like things above a zav, which become a rishon l'truma. Meaning, if the nidah herself were to lie on that pile of mattresses, all of them would become an avatuma, but instead with the boil nidah, they become only the one that he lies on becomes an avatuma, and the rest of them become a rishon l'truma. The point being, in other words, Rashi says, if the girl was below three, then we would just consider him like the din of somebody who touches a nidah, and then he wouldn't have the special din of boil nidah. But because she's three, then again, it's considered bia. The Mishnah continues, poisel v'enim machil. Now, if the, sorry, I skip. Nisus l'koyin. Now, if this girl of 3 years old marries a koyin, oichelas v'truma, she would be able to eat truma because, again, her father accepted kedushin on her behalf. So, and since she's three, so the kedushin are valid kedushin, and the bia is valid bia. So, there, in other words, if she was below three, because it's not possible to do bia yet, therefore she's an arusa and midrabanan, she's not allowed to eat truma. But once she's three and bia is possible, then she is able to eat truma. So that's another din. Bala Echamin Apsulim, if at that age, 3 years older, somebody who's posel has relations with her, Solomon Akohuna, then he passels her from Kohuna, meaning, in other words, if it was a goy, or a relative, or if she's an Ashish, then anybody who has her, or a mamzer, etc., then they passel her from ever marrying a koyin, because now she's considered a zoina, and from ever going back to eating truma after, if she's widowed or divorced. As again, if she was below three, then none of those didn't apply. None of those didn't apply. If any one of the arayas in the Torah has relations with her, then they are executed because of her. But she's potter because she's underage. Because again, the bia is a bia. Now, when we say now, thus far the Mishnah, echad mikol arayis v'afilu behema. Now, let's consider when it says any of the arayis, the pashtus that includes the pashtus that includes animals as well, because they're in the same parasha of arayis. So we see, therefore, now in this case there is kolon because it was a shameful thing to do, but there's no takola because she's a katana and she's not put to death. So therefore, that would give a katani mumos in al yada, and still we're saying the arayas are executed because of her. So that would show that therefore that by the behema it doesn't matter whether there's takola or not; just kolon itself is reason to put the animal to death. And the answer is no. Kivin de mezida, after all, the girl in this case was the mezid. So it was Berotzen after all, Takola Nami Ika. So there is Takola involved over here. Really, she should be Chayav Nisa. V'Rachmano Udechos Allah. So the Torah has Rachmanos on her because she's underage. But you could say, Allah Dida, Chos, the Torah has Rachmanos on her. Abahema Loi Chos, but the Torah is not having Rachmanos on the animal. So in other words, there really is Takola over here, just that because of a technicality, because she's underage, and therefore she's not there, therefore she's not Chayav Nisa. We find, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch mentioned in Shulchan Aruch mentions that if a child had been Mechal Shabbos or otherwise did an Avera, he's not Bar Unshin yet, but nevertheless, the Magen Avraham points out, based on this Gemara and based on other Gemaras, that he should do Tshuva when he's older, as we see over here, that really this girl would have been Chayav Misa, except for the fact that she's underage. So the Gemara says, therefore, again, we don't have a proof one way or the other. Maybe over there there is, in fact, both Takola and Kolayim. The fact that the girl herself is not actually put to death is a technicality because she's a Ptana, but that doesn't mean that there's not really Takola there anyway. Omar Rava Toshma. So Rava says, we're going to bring another proof. Another Mishnah in that Perek and Nidah. Then Teisha Shonim Yem Echad, a boy 9 years old, Habal Yavim, who has relations with his Yavama. No, then he was koina her, and now she's considered his wife again, in the sense that now no chalitza is necessary. And that's d'oraisa. D'rabbanan, it's a little more complicated than that, but it has other implications as well. Besides the fact that now he yarshins his brother's property, and now again that no chalitza is necessary yet. But the inner nosin get actually yagdil. If he does want to divorce the yavama after that, then he has to wait until he's an adult, because as a child he can't give a get. Or matame kenida latame mishkav tachtim ke'elyon. If he, the 9-year-old boy, has relations with a nida, then he has the din of boil nida that we said before, that the lower mattresses that are underneath the top one are matame as a rishon latruma, like an elyon of a zav. In other words, if he was below 9, it's not considered bia, so then it would only be considered that he touched a nida, not that he had relations with her. If he has relations with a woman who's also to him, then he passes her from eating truma. If, let's say, the boy is a mamzer or what have you, so he passes her from eating truma. But if he marries a girl when he's a cotton, then he himself, he cannot cause her to eat truma, because even though his bia is a bia, the kinyan is not a kinyan, and therefore you can't. Therefore, she's not considered his wife to the extent where she would be able to eat truma. Another dinim at the 9-year-old, if he commits bestiality with an animal, then the animal is now possible to bring as a korban, because as we learned on Amud Aleph, an animal that was used for avodah zara or for revia is possible for a korban. The niskelos al yodai, and the behema would be given skila because of him, even though he's underage, but the animal would be given skila. The imbal achas mikolin, which this is what we're going to prove, because here you don't have shakola, and you still have kolin, and you're saying the animal is put to death. The imbal achas mikolin arayis amuris paternum and mosim al yodai, if he has relations with any of the arayis in the Torah, and they're adults, then they can be put to death, and again, he's not, because he's a cotton. So again, v'ha'ha'ha kolin ikka takola leka. Here also you have kolin without takola, because it's a kolin, it's a shameful thing that he did. But nevertheless, there's no takola, because he's not being put to death. And v'katani niskela sayode, and we're still saying that the animal gets skila. So doesn't that prove that kolin alone is reason enough to do that? And again, the same answer as before, kiven de mezid hu, because after all, he did do it b'mezid, takola nami ikka, really, in principle, there is takola v'rachmona hu dechos yilavei, and the Torah has rachmona on him because he's underage, aledi de chos rachmona, behema le chos rachmona, the Torah has rachmona on him because he's a person, and because he's a yid, but not when it comes to an animal, the Torah has less rachmonos on him, and has less rachmonos on the animal. Now, this is, in other words, the same answer as before. The Gemara is reusing the same answer as well. B'chlal, why the Gemara even asked the question? Because the Gemara thought that maybe, after all, there should be a difference in that regard between a boy and a girl. Because after all, the boy is doing the active thing, so therefore you would think that and then the Vilna Gaon actually points out in his Pirush on these Mishnayos and Masechta Nidah, he says that, listen, Rava who pointed out the Mishnah about a boy, he figured that, listen, the previous answer was a Dechiyah. You could say that maybe Bechlal, when the Mishnah had said, then that would be talking about that, so that's talking about arayas, not necessarily animals. So therefore, so Rava thought that that's not really a strong enough reason to say that we can prove about this matter of Takola and Kolon, and therefore he brought the Braisa about the boy. Alright, but the answer is ultimately the same thing. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof on Mishnah. It said, Dava Acher, Shaloitehe Behema Veres Bashuk. Again, we said our Mishnah had said that another reason why the animal is put to death, so the animal is not walking around in the marketplace, and people are going to say this is the one that Pliny was given skila because of it. So again, we have kolon and takola in there. My lab me to say for takola v'kolon, reisha kolon below takola. Shouldn't we assume, again, the Gemara tries to do like it did at the top of the Amud, that there should be a difference between the reisha and the sefer. There has to be a difference, la halacha, the Gemara is assuming, between the two reasons in the Mishnah. So in the sefer, we're clearly saying takola and kolon, because we're mentioning the point that he was put to death, which is takola, and the point that it was pliny, and therefore there's kolon. So we could assume, therefore, that the resha of the Mishnah, when it mentions the point that because Bala Olam Takola Al Yada means Takolas Kolon, means in other words, not Takola in the sense that we've been using throughout the Sugya, where he's put to death, but just the, but where there's only Kolon alone, the Hechi Dami, Ovikachama, Bala Behema, namely, where it was, so resha, Takola Bala Kolon, the Hechi Dami, Ovikachama, Bala Behema, I skipped a line. My lab, mean to say for takola v'kolon, reisha kolon below takola. Shouldn't we assume that in the reisha, we're talking about kolon without takola? So even though the Mishnah uses the word takola, it means takola of kolon. Takola, the main thing is the kolon, the embarrassment of the person. The hechidom yisrael abal abahem b'shoigig, namely where it was yisrael, but it was b'shoigig, and therefore that would answer Rav Hamnona's question. And the answer is loy, not necessarily. Sefer takola v'kolon, reisha takola b'le kolon. You could instead answer, like we tried to for Rav Sheshes before, that maybe in fact the sefer is talking about both, and the reisha is talking about takola only, v'hechidomi, ovikachavma, bala behema, namely it was a goy and the behema, v'chidubo name Rav Sheshes, which would bring us back to Rav Sheshes' question. So ultimately, though, the Gemara is saying you can't really prove one way or the other from the Mishnah about whether it's in whether you need both takola and kolon, or whether in fact it's enough to have one without the other, and that's enough to put the animal to death. So therefore, so we end up both questions, both Rav Sheshes' question about whether it was a goy, and Rav Amnuna's question whether it was a yid b'shoigig. Either way, the Gemara has left the question open, and the Rambam, in fact, paskins in both cases, Lakula. So therefore the animal is not put to death in either of these cases. Okay.